roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, Nevada, it is the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz. Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz?
Hello. You know who does that?
Isn't that Jerry Seinfeld's uncle?
Actually, I think it's Jerry Seinfeld's belly button. But that was Amanda Ribas.
Everyone's gone bananas over her, and I haven't. I'm not on that hype train yet.
What do you mean? Fighting or
being charmed by her?
She's nice. She's cool.
I don't like that laugh. Everyone else thinks it's funny and cute. I'm just not. I'm looking around, kind of like shrugging my shoulders, like, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's tough. Now, it's tough to say.
Let me say this, Goz. I do plenty of things where everyone else has every right to elbow each other and go, what's with this joker?
We were just talking about
that. I get that. You know what I mean? I get that I don't walk on water. But that doesn't stop me from going, why'd she do that? Why does he do that? Why does he wear that? Why, you know, whatever.
Is the jury still out? Have you seen enough where you can make that, where you get your gavel and you say?
No, I think she's a good fighter. No,
but as far as the cuteness and all that, like.
Well, look. If you obviously just take her out of the octagon and now let's treat her as a woman instead of a fighter and doll her up, I'm sure she's a striking young lady.
No, not like that. Like her personality, her bubbly personality.
I'm not.
But have you seen enough?
Like, the voice is kind of screeching a little bit, the chalkboard.
Really?
Yeah. Like, when she says, if I was the UFC PI or PR guy, sorry, after the third question, I go, this is the last one, you know, and just have somebody ask the question. And then, okay, we got a lot of fighters to go through, even if I know there's no, I don't know, just, she's got to tighten that part of the game up.
I bet you she's going to win you over.
Maybe. She might come to the studio one day and just be the nicest person ever. But I'm not seeing what everyone else is seeing.
We interviewed Beneil Dariush today. And
he's charming.
He's a great guy, a charming guy.
Great, man.
But every time you think you have him figured out and you're like, man, that's such a good guy, he does something to make you feel even better about him. I have a feeling one day she's just going to show up and you're going to go, man, that girl was cool. We'll see.
Perhaps. We'll see. Yeah. All right. Well, the intro for today is we're going to cover the news. And there's some news out there, both for the UFC and Bellator. And then we'll give you some quick reminders of what's happening with LFA tomorrow night. And we got one championship Friday morning. We got LFA Friday night. And then the UFC on Saturday. So four major shows. Of course, the UFC being the granddaddy of them all, kind of like the Rose Bowl. These were the college bowl game day, January 1st. And, you know, those reminders I think you should all jot down, because I think we've all just been a little lazy. I think we all have, like, attention rust when it comes to viewing MMA. So I'll give you those quick reminders of where to go. And we'll talk about that main event and the card. So buckle up, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a late Wednesday night, July 29th.
Damas y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
All right, guys, let's start covering some news. Since the last time we recorded our show, which was Monday, show number 3073. Yay. What does that mean?
Technically, we did one this morning.
True, true. But it doesn't go as part of the numbered series. Although, yeah. I want to pitch that to Simon and say, hey, look, can we just throw them up there?
Yeah, it should.
You know, their shows, and they're actually longer than some of the podcast shows, which include a guest. Using video. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Let me just blast through the news, and then we'll obviously recircle back to whatever pops to you. Gilbert Melendez, for example, received a 2-year USADA suspension for a positive test after the UFC release. When the UFC fighters get released, they're pretty much out of the USADA pool, except I guess they forgot to turn in some paperwork stating as such, and Gilbert had to got a visit from a USADA representative.
That would explain a few things. But that is kind of a strange scenario for that to happen. I don't know what happens now because, you know, Gilbert's young days of being El Nino are kind of behind him. He's a crafty veteran now. He's gone through that point in his career where he's even changed weight classes and tried different things. 2 years is a long time, man.
For sure. Now, this sample was collected October 16th of 2019, and it's a 2-year suspension. However, we're almost a year in. I mean, this is the end of July, folks. So we got all of October, all of September, and all of September and half of October before we reach the 1-year mark. It was a growth hormone that releases hexapeptide. It's prohibited at all times under the UFC anti-doping policy. He is a free agent who will not be returning to the UFC, and I believe that was the plan even before this happened. We all thought he was headed towards Bellator, and maybe that final matchup against Josh Thompson, although that trilogy's been settled. So I'm not sure that it needed to happen, but we just fucking witnessed Shogun versus Nogueira, so anything goes in MMA. But yeah, so his contract had officially terminated on October 12th of 2019, 4 days prior to the collection of his urine. And this is kind of a raw deal, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, he wasn't notified of his release till November 6th, but basically once the contract expires, either after a set amount of fights or a set amount of time.
I think you were right in assuming that he'd probably end up in Bellator because his wife is in Bellator. And it's the same reason why a lot of people feel like Paige VanZant might end up in Bellator because her husband's in Bellator. It's kind of like a family affair thing over there when you think about it. They got both Machida brothers fought there, right? Mm-hmm. The McKees.
And son.
Yeah, who else? Pitbull brothers. Who? Pitbull brothers. Yeah. Man. That'd be walking out to We Are Family. That should be the theme song of Bellator, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I guess you could rematch him and Benson Henderson. I know Chandler's likely to not stick around, so we can't even say, well, we'd love to see him and Chandler, two former champions. No. I think he would basically be one of those names that maybe helps Bellator put over some of the young people. He'd probably get into a quick title shot. Maybe him and Scott Coker have history. He was a Strikeforce lightweight champion at one point.
He's been behind the desk.
He's a
San
Francisco guy. This is a San Jose company, so he's from that area. He has been behind the desk. He went 1-6 in the UFC. It just was not a good run. But usually these commissions honor USADA suspensions. Now, I imagine he might be able to appeal, maybe get it reduced. And who knows, maybe two fights and he's gone. Maybe he can collect some money there on his way out. I don't know. I wish him the best. Super nice guy. And you can't take away what he accomplished earlier in his career as a WEC lightweight champ and as a Strikeforce lightweight champ. But, you know, this is a second incident that he's had with PEDs. And the 1-6 run with the UFC, again, a poor run, I guess. you know, the one fight that he won was a classic against Diego Sanchez. And one of the ones that he lost, which was actually his first one, was a split decision loss to Benson Henderson.
I actually thought he won that fight.
Who's amazing,
too.
Actually, who is one championship short of completing a WEC, UFC, Bellator round robin or triple threat or whatever you want to call it. You know, he's had a crack at it, but he hasn't completed it. But still, he's, you talk about some of the great lightweights, someone always throws out Benson Henderson. So, I mean, look, I think it was just the latter stages of the run, but there's no shame in losing a split to Benson Henderson. He got the Diego win, and then a few others just didn't go his way.
By the way, do you remember what happened when we interviewed Benson the last time?
With his kids all over him?
Just the chaos of that interview?
Yeah.
We did an interview with Benson Henderson that may have covered just about every room in his house. I mean, he was on the move. There were kids flying in between. But they recently did on the Bellator broadcast a thing where they had Chandler and Benson. I don't know if you watched that. And it's funny because technically they're like two of the nicest guys ever. Mm-hmm. And somehow they were able to turn it around where they were actually talking a little smack towards each other.
Really?
And but it was funny because it was almost exactly like our interview where I think on one of them, like the kid even pokes his head in and kind of like looks at the camera, does this, and then jumps right out. It was very similar to what happened to you and I.
I'll have to check it out. Continuing on, Ryan Spann, he's fighting Johnny Walker. That's UFC 253. UFC 253 takes place on September 19th, headlined by Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa. Then Peter Sobota is hinting at retirement after that loss he took at UFC on ESPN 14 this past Saturday. Frankie Edgar and Pedro Munhoz, they've been rescheduled for the UFC main event on August 22nd. In fact, old Ali Abdelaziz was saying, hey, the dominance fighters are headlining cards. And I started thinking, well, yeah, I mean, you do have an amazing roster, but if you throw in Edgar Brunson this weekend, Olenek versus Lewis.
I think it was like seven out of nine weekends or something like that.
Yeah, let him. I have no problem with Ali when he thumps his chest or pushes his fighters. It's a fact. I mean, he has an amazing roster, and they all seem to be clicking at one time or another. If one drops the title, the other one's defending it. I mean, Habib's a champ. Usman's a champ. Henry Cejudo wasn't beaten. He actually said, I retire. You know, I mean, he's got some killers.
Got Kayla Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Darren Stewart versus Mackie Pitolo, targeted for a UFC event coming up here in about 10 days. Again, I think we noted on today's show, just late notice fights, man. Hopefully they're telling the fighters, stay in shape. We'll match you up. We joked about it, how that's how they used to kind of do it in Pride. If you didn't catch it, catch us on Wednesday's Sportscaster. We do another version of what you're hearing, except the video format. Sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Miles Jury versus Georgie Karakanyan. Derek Campos versus Adam Borix, added to Bellator 243. So Bellator 243 takes place August 7th at Mohegan Sun. That one is headlined by Benson Henderson versus Michael Chandler. So that card is as follows: Chandler versus Henderson, Tim Johnson versus Matt Mitrione, Miles Jury versus Georgie Karakanyan, Curtis Millender versus Sabah Homasi. Look out for the Millender interview that we did recently. And a few others, including Derek Campos, Adam Borix, and a few other matchups as well. See, that one, I think, pops a little bit more than the one that happened last week.
Yeah, it does.
I think they should have done something like that, you know, in their return. But it could be that they just said, hey, you guys ready to roll? Come on, let's go, you know. And maybe Scott Coker just started sending bodies up there. Who knows? All right. Continuing on here, it's called A Complete Guide to Season 4 of Dana White Contender Series. Check it out. It's done by Nolan King. And on today's show, we were talking about all the alumni that have come out of Dana White Contender Series. They're starting late. You know, usually this thing goes from like June to August. This time they're starting in August, again, because of the pandemic, and it'll run through October. But don't sleep on Tuesday nights on ESPN Plus or on the UFC Fight Pass. I'm not sure where they're running it.
Well,
it's probably the ESPN Plus, but Fight Pass for the rest of the world.
Some of the names that we just rolled off in the fight bookings, like Johnny Walker, he's a contenders guy.
Right.
There, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's a cool show. I love it. I think George and I are a little bit split. I still like The Ultimate Fighter. I like them both. But
which one do you like more?
If I had to pick, I think Dana White's Contender Series just...
I mean, it's
it needs to be there
weeks
more.
Times five, that's 50 fights on The Ultimate Fighter. What do you get? The ones that go in, and sometimes it's just a highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Then you get one per week, and then you get the finale. I mean, I'll just say there's 20 of them. It took you about 3 months to get to it.
It's hard to compare.
Maybe the coaches.
Yeah, that's the thing, is each season, the coaches is what really makes that show.
But not and all then, the coaches beef.
That's the thing. Like, what was it, Robert Whittaker and was it Kelvin Gastelum? That season, that one was kind of dry a little bit. But every once in a while, you get magic with the coaches. It's fun. I like
Which
it.
Which coaches did like you
it.
Like?
My favorite of all time was probably Bisping Hendo. I thought was fun.
What about
Rampage? Or, I'm sorry, Bisping Mayhem was
Rampage
a lot of fun.
And Rashad.
Rampage and Rashad was a good one, yeah.
You like Bisping and Mayhem? I didn't like it. I mean,
you didn't like that one?
I mean, I'll have
I thought
to go
it was
back.
Fun. That was the one where he slipped on the pool table or the ping pong table or something.
Who did that?
Bisping. Remember, he fell hard. It was at the palms.
Oh, wow.
That was a bad fall.
Yeah.
That was fun. The Rampage one you're talking about, that's where he beat up the door, right?
Yeah, those doors.
Or was that with Forrest?
They just kept busting through doors. I mean, I could karate chop some of those doors.
But since then, yeah, when you go, that door, for anybody that ever went to the old Tough Gym, like, it's comical. Mm-hmm. It is comical. Like, Kool-Aid would laugh at that door. Mm-hmm. It's basically made out of cardboard, it feels like.
Yeah, agreed. Our good friend Lauren Mack, who was with One Championship, is now with PFL. We did an interview with them, or with him. He talks a little bit about the possible internet. Well, no, he's saying probable international expansion. Eyeing Asia and Oceania. Continuing on here, Irene Aldana. She was part of the first ever Hablemos MMA, our Spanish-speaking podcast on MMA Junkie, hosted by Danny Segura. And she talked a little bit about her experience with COVID-19. Certainly not the type where one winds up on the ventilator or anything like that, but it also was not a picnic at the park.
Mm-hmm.
However, since then, what we've heard is they're just going to rebook her and Holly Holm.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, she was very, very, I don't know how many of our listeners are Spanish speakers, but I know quite a few. I would definitely check out that show. She was very forthcoming with all her information, and she didn't hold back at all. You know, she told Danny basically what she went through, all her thoughts, moving forward, and she was very clear. You know, a lot of trained athletes that are in the best shape of their life and their lives get their butts kicked by this virus. And it sucked for her, but luckily the fight stays intact. It just gets moved. But it was a cool show. It was a good interview.
I liked it as well. Check it out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. I'm sure we'll have it everywhere. You can start linking up on our front page, MMA Junkie. Just scroll down. It was released Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. You'll see it there. You can start there and then, again, choose whatever links you want. Continuing on there, nice recap there by Danny Segura. Ricardo Lamas, he wants to teach Hall a lesson, or at least he wants him to respect his Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I felt bad because a lot of the times that we've talked to Lamas, it's like, all right, you prepared for those leg locks? I don't think we're out of line in any way. I mean, he's done a number on a few UFC athletes, you know, that you know, BJ Penn has formidable jiu-jitsu, but these leg lock guys, if you're not prepared, they can end your night quickly. You know, if you are prepared and you can thwart them, then it seems like you become a kryptonite, you know, to them. And they have to go to this plan B that they're just
not used to.
Yeah.
They usually don't have that.
He does have that awkward kickboxing or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I mean, he troubled Gray Maynard a little bit with it. But still, we'll see. I'm really, really anxious to watch that one.
But Ricardo's a guy that you have to take serious when he says shit like that, because he has done that in other fights. Like, remember with Max Holloway, who the hell stands in front of Max Holloway like that? Remember when he did the Toro thing with his foot and they just went at each other? Like, who does something like that?
That's, well, with 10 seconds, that benefited him. Remember, there was 10 seconds left in round three and he was losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he thought, well, fuck it then. Let's, you know, throw caution to the wind and maybe I can get the KO, because I think he knew he was down in the scorecards. Max was the one that was playing with fire, because if he got clipped, If he got Yair'd or Korean Zombie, whatever side you want to call it. Yeah, that would have been
a ridiculous ending. I mean, it was great, but what a ridiculous way to lose a fight.
Yeah. And then, you know, lastly, we talked about this a little bit on today's show at Sportscaster. Habib and GSP, there's early odds there. Habib minus 200, GSP plus 170. There's something I admitted, though, goes today. Those are the odds if those two were to ever tangle. GSP's pretty clear, I'm done. Has a fighter ever said that and come back? Of course. So I wouldn't be shocked if this happened. But another bet that's out there is it's minus 1,000 if the fight doesn't happen before December 31st of 2021. So if you're a firm believer that he's not coming back, go to the Mandalay Bay, say here's 1,000, and then on January 1st of 2022, you'll collect your 100 plus the 1,000. If you think he's going to make it, he's going to fight anytime before December 31st, 2021. Go put 100 at the Mandalay Bay instead of 1,000, and if he does fight, you get 500. So that one's, I think, the more fun bet of the two. You got all of this year and all of next year for him to come out of retirement and just do some fucking
fight. That's a nightmare of a bet, though. All right, I know. You gotta
wait 18 months just to cash it. Well, no, well, if he fights, then I think you get it sooner.
But that's the thing. Like, what if he announces the fight? And something happens day of and the fight doesn't happen.
Oh, man.
How mad would you be? Like, that's such a ridiculous bet to have. The odds that they put out in the beginning, though, what did they base that off of? Them fighting at 155, 170?
I don't know.
I
don't think GSP can safely make 155.
Neither do I. So I would think if it's at 170, I don't know.
He was always a big boy at 170. Like, thick. He wasn't like a monster or nothing like that. But he was thick, and I mean,
170. You make
40 years of age.
Hell, I would make Habib minus 170 at 170. At 155, the odds go up way more.
I think he can make 165, and for sure he can make 170. But here's the thing about GSP: goes, he faced a lot of guys that could wrestle, and he frankly out wrestled them. And he's good at holding you down and abusing you. You know, now. I don't know. Habib doesn't get taken down much. So,
how many guys try too, though?
Yeah. Could he do it? I don't know. Because he had impeccable timing. And then, you know, can he bank three of those rounds and maybe survive two of Habib's? Possibly. I mean, he had a pretty nice sprawl back in the day. He has a formidable jab. He knows how to use his distance. Frost of Hobby's a master game planner. I don't know. I might take my chances with GSP. Against the undefeated Habib Nurmagomedov. The only thing I don't like is his age. I think if it was like 35, 37 tops. I think he was 37 when he faced Bisping.
But this isn't like the type of fight where, I mean, obviously age is always going to play a part in it. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the type of fight, I think, where it would hurt a lot. You know, Habib carries a crazy pace, but he's essentially going to do what I think GSP would want. I mean, so it's not like they're just going to be sitting there throwing bombs or anything like that.
Right.
So I think, dude, at 170, I mean, if you're giving plus odds on a guy that's considered one of the greatest fighters of all time, I think you just do it out of respect.
He's 39, but unless he's had like some serious neck or back injuries that he's hidden, I think he can still be maybe 75% of what he was. And since he's bigger than Habib, can that be enough? I don't know. I don't know how Habib is going to be without his dad. Like, that's going to be a huge void. Mm-hmm. For him, I'm sure his dad taught him a lot that's going to stay with him for the rest of his life, and he'll be able to probably execute that against most people. Going up against one of the all-time greats, who knows, maybe there's just that one moment where he freezes and doesn't realize who he's in front of. I don't know. GSP carries an aura, you know.
Before we even talk about that, GSP, he's got to get through rounds. Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
Justin Gaethje's an absolute nightmare.
And that has been booked for, October 24th. Yeah, I remember the day, October 24th. That's UFC 254. So that one's official, folks. Probably Yas Island, if I had to guess. Maybe LV. I don't know. So, those are Habib versus GSP odds. There's nothing that says that those two are fighting. But I guess enough chatter out there. The books put out the odds. A cool story with Shimaev recounting his trip to Ireland to beat up Conor McGregor. That's the young fella who's 8-0 now in the UFC. He fought two times in 10 days out of Yas Island. Khamzat Shimaev. Interesting story there. It's on the front page of MMA Junkie if you want to check it out. Tony Ferguson did some media. Says he's game to fight McGregor or Poirier for the top spot. I think he wants to get right back in there against the winner of Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. And then you got Ryan Bader versus Vadim Nemkov. That title fight is close to being finalized for UFC Bellator 244. That would be for Ryan Bader's light heavyweight title. All right. I want to spend a little bit of time on this next topic here. It's Peter Yan has just ripped into Cody Garbrandt because Cody Garbrandt wants to go to flyweight, goes to fight Davis and Figueiredo. When I read that, I go, fucking A, cool. I think Cody Garbrandt versus Davis and Figueiredo would be awesome. I guess Cody texted Dana White and said, hey, look, I'm pretty light. I want to do this. That's bad news for Alex Perez versus and Brandon Moreno. Who knows? Maybe those two will have to lock up to solidify the number one ranking. But at the same time, I was excited for Cody Garbrandt versus Peter Yan.
They got a little bit of history, too, which makes it interesting, right? You're about to sneeze? George about to sneeze. The history I'm talking about is in the back. They had a little bit of an exchange. No surprise there. Cody Garbrandt has had a couple of those. Mm-hmm. One going back to Tough. That's actually another fun season, I think.
What are you going to do about it? I'll do something about it. Yeah. What if he had just slugged him instead of pushing him?
Dude.
What would they do? Okay, I mean, Cody, you're off. You're off the season. I think he'd go, oh, okay, I'm off. He wasn't the head coach. Uriah Faber was the head coach against Conor McGregor. But what if he would have just slugged him? Who knows?
I think he could have.
If he misses.
Conor was playing with fire.
Conor had his glasses on, but if he misses and Conor counters, it would have been bad for Garbrandt. But if he hits him, which I think he could have because they got close, and I don't think Conor thought he was going to hit him. Then, you know, he would have had a nice little scoreboard. I don't know that they ever fight because one guy's undersized bantamweight and the other guy's, he was coming off the Mendez win when he did that. So he was an oversized featherweight who became a lightweight. And yeah, I know he did two at welterweight, but he's a lightweight. But yeah, it would have been a nice little scoreboard for Garbrandt.
But when the bench is clear, what happens there? I mean, you got like Dylan Danis, I think was part, right? Of that squad,
Owen Roddy, Artem Lobov, Owen Roddy, yeah, John.
Now Kavanaugh. You got the smaller guys over here.
The Tamor brothers was there.
You got Danny Castillo. Was Buckholz?
TJ was still there.
TJ was there. Mm-hmm. That'd have been an interesting scrap.
Would have been fun. I would have liked it. All right, but at the same time, even though Yan is talking about Garbrandt, I think that's his pocket talking. And Yan's got options. There's still an opportunity where maybe Henry Cejudo still comes back. Although I think Cejudo's got his sights set on Volkanovski. And then the other one's the obvious one, Aljamain Sterling. You know, so maybe Garbrandt's saying, I know the writing on the wall. I'm just going to go and face Figueiredo while these two sort out, you know, the bantamweight, and then I'll come back.
I don't understand Triple C, though. What is his...
He wants to be the first one to ever have three titles.
He could have done that.
He wants to be 4C.
And just stuck around. Like, why give up the belt? I don't understand. He could have just held on to his belt.
So right now, he would have beaten Cruz and then said, I need some time to think. Right now, he has the belt, and everybody's like, well, who are you going to defend against? They give him a few months off, and then he goes, I want Volkanovski.
He goes, take it easy, man.
Maybe that's what makes it believable, is that he really was done. Maybe he was just over it.
Yeah.
But
I thought there was going to be some kind of angle. I thought he was going to try WWE or something. There was something to it, but I just don't understand why you got to give up the belt. If you're going to come back and do that.
He must have been serious. Or maybe the negotiation didn't go well. You either pay me this or I give up the belt. All right, give up the belt. Shit. Now I got to give up the belt. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, that's the latest there with Yan and Garbrandt. Interesting stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the fight coming up on Saturday. Before I get to Saturday, let me just give you a quick rundown like I did earlier on Sportscaster. Some of you don't catch us on Sportscaster and you're missing out. But I'm going to do this one more time. Tomorrow night, Thursday, July 30th, Invicta FC 41, Morandon versus Reese in Kansas City, Kansas on the UFC Fight Pass. The fight starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Caitlin Young is also on that fight card, as is, that's the only one I recognize. Basically, it's Janessa Morandon versus Montserrat Ruiz. I've heard of them. I've heard of Caitlin Young, but I haven't heard some of these other ladies. They've had it kind of rough, man, ever since the UFC brought ladies aboard. It's just it's the way it is. All right, the next day. Now, you got to follow along here. One championship. This event takes place on July 31st in Bangkok, Thailand. It's going to happen at their normal prime time. But here on the West Coast or on the Pacific time zone, you got to catch the fights on BR Live, 5:30 a.m. on Friday morning. That's Pacific time, or 8:30 a.m. Eastern time on BR Live. Stamp Fairtex versus Sunisa Sarisan is one of the fights that's lined up on that fight card. LFA later on Friday night. That is their 87th card that they've put together. This one's Logan versus Rosales. UFC Fight Pass has it covered. I'm not sure the start time, but I think in the past on Access TV, they either used to start at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, or 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. It's going to be one of those two. Check your local listings. I'm sorry, we don't have that updated. Then, of course, on Saturday, we get to the fight card here back in Vegas. It is UFC on ESPN Plus 31, Brunson versus Shabazian. The fights start at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Main card at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It all starts off with Cody Durden versus Chris Gutierrez, Jamal Emmers versus Timur Valiev, Marcus Perez versus Eric Spicely, Ray Borg versus Nate Maness, Ed Herman versus Gerald Meerschaert, and Jonathan Martinez versus Frankie Saenz. Again, all the card is on ESPN Plus. That's the prelims. Again, 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Then we get to the main card. Trevin Giles versus Kevin Holland. Bobby Green versus Lando Venata. Remember the first one ended in a draw? Randy Brown versus Vicente Luque. Joanne Calderwood versus Jennifer Maia is the co-main event. And then we got Derek Brunson versus Edmund Shabazian. We lost Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. That one's been rebooked for another time. But I still think they got themselves a quality main event there with those middleweights.
Yeah, because they're going to bang. But that's what those two dudes do.
Brunson's strong in the first round. He finishes a lot of fights.
Yeah, he almost finished Bobby Knuckles.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to challenge Shabazian. Shabazian hasn't lost. Shabazian's only 22. He wants to be a champion and beat John Jones. Somewhere in the age of 23 is when John Jones got his title. So Shabazian still has a little bit of time. But he's got to win this fight. And then we'll see how things result with Adesanya and Paulo Costa before he can possibly entertain that one.
Yeah, but if he keeps winning fights the way he does, he's going to jump. He's going to jump over a couple people.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Look, folks, that's kind of it. You know, that for what we have for this week. You know, we have fights. That's for sure. Thursday, Friday morning, Friday night, and Saturday. As far as the news goes, look, there's a lot that's happened. Obviously, with the fight cards, so some of the fights that have fallen off, some of the ones that have been thrown back on. There's a lot of fight bookings that have been made, including Gaethje versus Nurmagomedov, Izzy versus Costa, Frankie Edgar versus Munoz. There's some really, really good ones that are happening. The UFC is going to be super busy because not only do we have a fight card on Saturday, we have one on Tuesday, the Contender Series. Then back on Saturday with Lewis and Olenek. Then back on Tuesday. Then back on, I think it's August 15th, Miocic versus Cormier. I mean, it just keeps going. It's going to be really, really busy. So with MLB kind of stumbling out of the gate, I don't know what's going to happen with NHL and NBA.
NBA is doing really good. This Are is they? The second straight week of no positive tests. Well, they disrespected the bubble a little bit, I think. Going to a strip club,
but no one got infected. Ordering,
but nobody's been infected for two straight weeks, and that's like what 398 tests or something like that.
Wow!
So they're doing well.
Gotta be more than that. 398 each.
I don't know
each team maybe or no. Because the UFC did like literally 1,300 in.
Well, I think they get tested. I don't know if it's once a week or what how they do it, but it's 2 weeks no tests, which is or with no positive results. So that's good.
Yeah. Okay. NHL, by the way, is happening. I think it's Edmonton and Toronto, I think it's two cities, are hosting the conclusion of their season. It came up. Somebody had asked me about that. I had to check into that one. I thought that's what I heard. It was two cities in Canada that were going to sort that out. And the NBA, all of it's taking place in Orlando. MLB's, they're, each city, each team is hosting in their city, but with no fans. But with the Marlins getting so infected, I think they had to rearrange some series. Man, I don't know what's going to happen there. They're down from 162 games to 60.
They should have done a bubble. And right? Now, there's no other way to do it other than a bubble.
And they're the ones that are really organized with it because of Florida and Arizona. That's where all the teams are housed in spring training. They have decent weather. Well, Arizona's pretty damn hot. But, yeah, it's disappointing. And then now football. I can tell you in California and Nevada, they're not playing football till at least January.
High school.
High school.
Yeah. Colleges, some announcements today. No preseason for football.
Only NFL. Possible conference. Yeah, NFL is just going to be no exhibition season. I think maybe just the 16 games. Who knows what kind of plans they're working on. I think the NFL is probably the most organized out of all of them, but they've had the most time as well. Mm-hmm. English Premier League wrapped up. They just got a couple tournaments, and then they can breathe for a couple months.
I give them an A.
And then they restart again.
I thought they did great.
Well, Sunday we were on the edge of our seats, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been nice with fans, but still, like, the game meant something. So I give the UFC an A. Maybe an A minus.
A minus.
A couple coaches back here. The Jacare was bad.
Jacare was bad.
He showed up going, I think I got it. You know, I got some relatives that gave it. You know, they right then and then they should have started the process. Plus, you go over here. And then he's got a couple social media, you know, with Fabricio, like Masaroff.
I give him a B plus because the Tachi Palace thing probably hurt too.
Well, that's not the UFC's fault though, is it?
Well, but it's, yeah, because they tried to rush it. And they just seem like Maybe. They tried so many different things and they kind of got slapped in the
face. But they also did an island with the private jets and all the testing, and people had to stay in their rooms for 48 hours. I think they made a little bit of a comeback. I'm going to give them an A minus, but I definitely want to give them some sort of a letter A, just not an A plus or an A, maybe an A minus. But I was proud of them. I was proud to be a part of MMA and the return. And
they did good.
Bellator and their Fight Sphere, they're doing good. So now let's hope that Invicta, LFA, won championship, that they can continue. And we'll see. Hopefully sports comes back as a whole in the fall. Folks, keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week and weekend. We got you covered for all of these great fight cards that are coming up. And don't forget to catch us Wednesdays on Sportscaster, sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. We had Beneil Dariush on today's show, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Check it out. It's live. We got a chat room. We always have a guest. Previous guests have included Eric Nixick, John Anik, Big John McCarthy, Mike Dolce. We also had Calvin Cater. Do you remember them all? Ray Longo.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
But we brought back the Dear Dolce segment that we used to do on MMA Junkie Radio. It was fun. We do a lot of the old stuff.
Yeah, so check it out. We really enjoy doing it over there at Sportscaster. And I think we have a watch-along scheduled for August 15th for UFC 252. For now, we're going to bounce. Enjoy your week and weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday. Until then, go out and be a champion.